You're in tune to KTWH. It is that time of the week when we turn to our lead reporter from the Lake County Press, Kitty Mayo, for a look at some of the important stories that are in the paper this week. Welcome, Kitty.
Hi, Leo.
We are in a very hectic period of the summer, just a couple of weeks out from the festive sail that's going to make Two Harbors kind of the center of the known universe, sort of. And we have a very consequential mayoral recall question and important primary issues to be decided. Some of that we'll get to today. So the big news, in fact, despite what I just said, is wastewater treatment plant upgrades in Two Harbors. And they are really substantial, and they're going gangbusters, aren't they?
Exactly. So Katya Gordon, one of our writers and one of your diligent volunteers at the radio station, wrote a piece. She took a deep dive into talking to Luke Heikkila, who is the wastewater superintendent for Two Harbors. If people don't know that, Luke is kind of an amazing individual that takes care of life-sustaining and critical aspect of all of our lives who live here. So Luke has been a passionate and vocal and an intelligent advocate for an upgrade to our wastewater treatment site going back many years. This is resulting in an upgrade to the tune of about $30 million as a rough estimate. Now, there's lots of numbers in here. I'll just say about a third of that will come from the city, and only half of what the city will pay for that will be a result of user fees over the next 20 years. So I don't know if people understand how lucky we are to be getting a very robust, very intensely improved, efficient, able to handle so much more water and do it right is what we're getting on the project. I know this is a favorite topic of yours, Leo, and I think it's pretty amazing. I think we should all be pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I do want to point out, though, Kitty, that this is like the infrastructure that is invisible, that has saved millions of lives from waterborne illnesses not happening and has kept pollutants out of our rivers, lakes, streams, and that we actually built the infrastructure that we have in this country with 90% federal funding at one point, matching state and local funds. So it's not unusual for there to be a lot of money coming from outside the communities that are building these things.
Absolutely. We're going to have a state-of-the-art facility, that's for sure.
Yes. The only thing that I haven't heard addressed is something that is not in Luke's purview, which is a system like this always has to be designed to envision what the future population is going to be. And Two Harbors isn't totally made up its mind on what its population might become.
Well, while that's true, I will share with you that I have had conversations with Luke over the last couple of years. And in this design, it is intended to be larger than what we currently need to accommodate the potential for significant growth to the town.
Great. Another issue is whether we will continue to have non-directly contributed flow, though, that doesn't come from households, that comes from infiltration and inflow. So there is a lot of moving pieces to making sure you have the capacity for the future. I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Such an important topic. Thank you, Kitty.
It is.
I hadn't thought of it before, but obviously our local medical facility, Lakeview Hospital and Clinic, has to think about what's going to happen when we have 15,000, 20,000 people heading into Two Harbors over a weekend. What can you tell us about that story?
I can tell you that while you haven't been thinking about it a lot, they have been thinking about
Thank
it
goodness.
A lot. 4 months. And it's a good thing. So I got to talk to Greg Ruberg, the CEO and president of Lakeview Hospital and Clinics. And he is a wonderful strategist and planner. And he has been very diligent about getting services ready for the unknown. I jokingly asked Greg when he told me last week that they're preparing for the most difficult circumstances and hoping for the best. I said, Greg, were you a Boy Scout? Yes, he was, just so you know. That makes me feel good, too.
Yeah, it rings true.
That's his attitude, and it's going to bode well for all of us in Two Harbors when we have so many more people present. The hospital is very aware that they're going to have more work to do when you bring that many people together, you're going to have more kids with earaches, more people with back strains, you know, more people. It just means more medical issues that are going to end up coming up there. And a real big issue that what they've done to look at this is move all urgent care, non-true emergencies out of the ER. So most of us who live in Two Harbors or Lake County are aware that we can go to the urgent care on the weekend through the emergency department or during their off hours.
Right.
And that is not going to be the case during Festival of Sail. The clinic is going to be opened up as an urgent care facility with extra staffing so that the ER will only take true emergencies if necessary and staffed up as well. Every department in the hospital is going to be staffed up from radiology to lab to all those backup services that we would need in an emergency. They're going to have a lot of staff on, and they're asking a lot from their staff to not only be working all week, but then to sign up for extra shifts over the weekend. And they're getting that response. Greg says they're going to be prepared. They've thought about things like extra blood. I didn't think of that. He said, yeah, we have to have extra blood stocked in case of emergencies. We're going to have more people here.
Is it possible to source that extra blood? I don't know how the allocations work in our regional blood system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that's something we should talk about another time. There is a blood shortage in the country right now. However, yes, they are able to source it and have an extra supply on hand despite the shortage, and that is the plan for this weekend. They're also, you'll see if you go past the hospital and clinic on that weekend, you'll see people in the parking lot, and they're going to have staff in the parking lots and extra signage to make sure that they're not plugging up, you know, kind of clogging up any spot of flow for traffic as people go to get their medical needs met, so that people are, okay, what is your need? And then this is the building we want you to go to and park over here, and just to keep things going smoothly.
And Kitty, that sounds like Greg Ruberg and his team have thought of many, many eventualities, but are they really sure that people with urgent needs are going to be able to get to the hospital? Is that one of the wild cards, or are there plans clearly about the EMT capacity to respond?
The day that I spoke to Greg, which was just 2 days ago after our conversation, he and his team were meeting with EMS, the Emergency Medical Services, to clarify transportation needs. Like you said, up Highway 2 there, is that going to be easily accessible with traffic coming down with shuttles from the fairgrounds? So it's a very big picture coordination that's happening between the fire department, the ambulance, Craig Zimborski's team. And how will we handle if we need to bring an emergency vehicle through from point A to B? And also, how would we get to Duluth if
Indeed.
This person would need a higher level of care, such as surgery, for instance? So those are all details that they are working on. And Greg feels very confident that they'll have them in place and be able to manage them well as needed.
Great to hear. I see that up the shoreline in Silver Bay, they continue to deal with the short-term rental issue, just as we do all throughout Lake County, and they've clarified somewhat what needs to happen in their town. Do you want to cover that, Kitty?
Sure. It's a low drama because it's sort of to preempt any burgeoning problems and having things go sort of, you know, rapidly into a stressful situation. The Silver Bay has never allowed short-term rentals or vacation rentals in their residential zones. Okay, just to be sure on that. So they kind of changed the language from not allowed to prohibited. I understand that the city gets many phone calls and that it's growing in requests and questions about short-term rentals in the city limit. And so they're just tightening it up so that they can make it extra clear. There's also been, they wanted to clarify that vehicles such as recreational vehicles, campers, the fish houses that you see on trailers, none of those can be used or short-term rentals in residential zones either. So they cleaned up their language on that just to make it real clear for people. Now, I'll just add an adjunct to that is they're working on Boathouse Bay development down in a different section of town, not in a residential zone, and near the campgrounds. And that will be short-term rental properties. So they're seeing the need for it, and they're responding to it in a very sort of planned out way of the best use of their very limited housing stock.
excellent. And I'm sure we'll continue to follow what happens in the short-term rental issue countywide. But back down in Two Harbors, I mentioned that we have this important election looming. And you had a chance this week to pose questions to the primary candidates. I'm impressed that we have two races for city council that are facing a primary to try to pare down the number of candidates on the November ballot from 3 to 2. Do you want to describe the forum that we had this week?
I would love to. First, I'm going to say that Ward 1 candidates, so people who live in Ward 1, have three choices. And then all of us who live in Two Harbors have a choice to narrow down the three choices for an at-large city council seat. So those are the two different races that I got a chance to speak to six individuals on air for a 10-minute slot. Each person was asked four questions, the same questions, without any preparation, just on the fly, and given equal time to answer each one. And working with the staff at KTWH was a delight, and we pulled it off in short order, and it'll be really interesting to have those on air and have people be able to hear what those responses were.
Yeah, and it's an interesting forum in that no one knew in advance what the questions would be, and no one heard a single word of what any other candidate said in response. So you're really getting a true picture of each candidate's individual thinking process and ability to answer a question on the fly. Which is what you have to do.
Exactly. And I just want to share with your listeners that at the primary election on August 9th, there will also be a question in addition to these campaign primaries. The shall Mayor Christopher Swanson be recalled? It's going to be a yes or a no vote on that single question.
We've all seen that was coming, and I guess you've actually seen the question on a sample ballot.
Indeed.
And I have additional helpful information for listeners. KTWH will air the City Council Candidate Forum on Saturday, July 23rd at 11 a.m. By Monday, July 25th, folks can listen on demand from the City Council Candidate Forum dropdown you'll find on the Programs tab at the top of our homepage at ktwh.org. Speaking of the city council and city business, we have the question of access of our citizens to continue to monitor what is happening in our very busy city council. You have news on that?
I do. And this is interesting because many of the candidates that I spoke to mentioned Zoom meetings and the need for them to continue for Two Harbors City meetings. At a recent council meeting, it was mentioned sort of offhand that online virtual access to city meetings was soon to be ended. So I wanted to follow up on that, and I got to have a conversation directly with Patty Nordine, who is the city clerk, and asked her, what's going on with this? Are they shutting down Zoom meetings? There's been really high level of participation and attendance through Zoom. Sometimes that's how I access meetings myself.
Right.
And it was something that started during the pandemic. So Patty explained to me that Zoom meetings will not go away until there's a new system in place that will allow live streaming of city council meetings. So it'll be a one-way street. Now, I'm not done yet, Leo. You'll be able to watch online. And it should be a much better system for navigating because it's a bit of a nightmare sometimes without like a live link to click on. You got to cut and paste and add a meeting number. It's clunky. So there will be a really good sort of ITV access. They're building that. They're working on that with Jose Leon, who is the relatively new cable coordinator, and he's got some great ideas to hook that up. That's getting built, let's put it that way, maybe in the next few months. Now, they will not make Zoom meetings go away. If you're a city councilor who can't attend in person, you could attend by Zoom. They're going to have a Zoom link, is the plan, for every meeting to be shared only if you are on the agenda. So if you're a city resident who wants to speak, you will be allowed to speak through the normal process of request to be put on the agenda, be given your time frame to do it in, and you will join by a Zoom link to speak. That way, in the two-way interaction. So I think it sounds like a wonderful plan.
Sounds like we'll carry both technologies into the future, the Zoom allowing the two-way interactivity and everybody else to see a quality and listen on a quality live stream.
Absolutely.
What do you know? The 21st century is here. and that's the end of the list that I have for the stories in review this week. Kitty, is there anything else we should know?
Oh, there's always more to the story, Leo, but I'll hold it for next week.
Well, thank you, Kitty Mayo, lead reporter for the Lake County Press. We will catch you next week as things continue to heat up. I don't know about the weather, but things continue to heat up here on the North Shore. Thanks,
exactly.
Kitty. Bye now.
Thanks, Leo. Bye-bye.
That was Kitty Mayo from the Lake County Press. You are in tune to KTWH.